This podcast was recorded on the lands of the Boon Wurrung people of the Kulin Nation, the land on which we're lucky enough to raise our sons and daughters. Always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
This episode is brought to you by the Ready or Not Go-To Guides. If you're gearing up for the return to paid work, for postpartum, for breastfeeding and returning to work, or trying to navigate childcare, we have made guides just for you. Shop now at readyornot.au.
I think I've just learned to sort of let go of the little things. And I probably naively just thought, you have a baby and you go back to work. It was a mental and sort of emotional struggle that I wasn't expecting. I still felt like I was a fish out of water. Best thing I ever did in my career. I think I put the pressure on myself to be as great as what I, you know, was before.
As a mother of three, Pelleena Guthrie has had her fair share of return to paid work experiences, and each one has taken a slightly different turn. On her first rodeo, she went back to work earlier than she'd planned after landing a new job opportunity that she couldn't refuse. 6 months into settling into that new workplace, she was pregnant again with baby two, and she was terrified. And the third time around, at about 5 months into the return to work, she experienced burnout, resigned, and found a new role. She's tried different workweek setups that ultimately led to full-time paid work. Her partner has taken parental leave for all three babies. She's navigated all the emotions and pressures that come with balancing a career and family, and she's learned a lot along the way. Here, we talk about the most challenging transitions, what it means for a secondary caregiver to be able to take parental leave, and the pressure and guilt that so many mums face in the workplace when returning to paid work. I'm Lucinda, this is Ready or Not, and here is the radiant and relatable Pelleena Guthrie. Pelleena, you have recently returned to paid work for the third time. As a mother in the early days of having two kids, I find it almost inconceivable, pardon the pun, at the moment. What is unique about returning to paid work as a mother of three that perhaps you didn't experience the first two times? Is there anything that's unique to three?
I reckon totally. I mean, for me, it's been, dare I say it, the easiest transition, I think, like still challenging. Like,
wow.
Compared to the first two, I think, just because this time I've felt like I've got the lessons to draw on from the first two times. And yeah, that I think has made me feel the most empowered, I think, in that return as a, like, within my career and as a mum. It's definitely hectic, like, yeah, getting three little people out the door in the morning, like, that is such a faff. But yeah, I think I've just learned to sort of let go of the little things. And
yeah.
Even though our life is like very full, you pick and choose your battles now. So yeah, I think I found it the smoothest because I've let go a lot of the expectations that I probably put on myself the first couple of times round. We're not, like, by all means not perfect, but yeah, it's odd to say that, like, on reflection, I'm like, actually it's been pretty smooth. I'm pretty happy with how it's going.
That's amazing. So before we actually get to your career pre-motherhood, then I do have one more off-the-cuff question, and that is, what did you find the hardest transition just with a motherhood lens, not even thinking about the return to work?
So that's funny, because from that perspective, I'd say going from two to three was the hardest.
Just wow, that's a bombshell I wasn't expecting. I don't know if I'm going to have a third, but for a second I thought you were making me feel better about it.
No, everyone, it's funny though, because a lot of people that I spoke to or speak to who have three, like in the lead up to three, everyone was like, oh, three's the easiest. It's so great because they just like go with the flow and come along with, you know, everything that you have to do. And in some sense, that is true. Like Alfie, he's just over one now. He doesn't have a real good like sleep routine, whereas with the other two, we had like a real schedule and sort of routine. So he has just sort of been dragged along to everything that we do. But I think it's the older two are wild. So five, yes. Three and one, like I think that managing that transition for them and just the stage of life that they're in has been, yeah, more than I expected. So I was going into this three kids being like, oh, it's going to be like smooth sailing, but yeah, it's
It's got its own wild challenges.
Exactly, yeah.
Is the me time piece harder? Because I found having a second child, that's what I'm noticing more. I knew I was going to go through all of these things again, like feeling touched out and whatnot. But I just thought it was for a second time. I didn't realize that it would feel almost magnified because there's two of them, if you know what I mean. I just thought, oh, I'm just going through what I've been through. But then it's like, oh, no, there's two of them. So does the me time get you even more when there's three?
Yeah, I definitely feel like I'm a pretty relaxed, patient person. But having three, my patience has worn thin. Like there are times that I'm just like, please get off me. So yeah, I think like that touched out feeling, I've definitely felt the most this time. And from a, me time. Yeah.
You're not even thinking about me time, are you?
Yeah. Sometimes it's good and sometimes it's not. Yeah. A challenge.
Thanks for letting me take you on that journey of all these random questions. So we will now take it back to the start. What is career life like for you before kids come into the picture? Talk us through it.
So, yeah, pre-kids. So I've been in the digital industry for just over 10 years now. In my early 20s, I just bounced around different admin roles. I tried uni after school for a couple of semesters and it wasn't really for me. I hadn't found something that I was really passionate or interested in. So yeah, I bounced around admin roles and I wasn't career driven, right? I was kind of happy just making a wage and spending the wage. And, you know, that was the way I was operating.
Can I ask, was that with the lens that you always wanted to be a mum or not necessarily?
Not necessarily. I think I just didn't know what I wanted to do. And I was kind of happy just going with the flow. And I think I just thought I would eventually find something that I was passionate about. So yeah, I think that was part of the driver around, like I bounced around admin roles in different industries for a while. And when I moved to Melbourne from New Zealand, I just happened to get an admin role at one of Australia's leading independent agencies. Like no idea what it was, just applied for it and got that role. And it was, a real turning point because first of all, I didn't know that there were people who like made websites. So that was pretty exciting. And that cultural element of agencies was something that was really appealing to me. And like reflecting now, I'm like, I don't care about the ping pong tables and beer o'clock on Fridays. But that was, you know, the stage of life I was in, my, early to mid 20s. I was like, this is awesome. But I was also genuinely interested in the industry itself. And it was something that I started to see, I could see some longevity in, I think. So after about a year of getting exposure to the business and the different functions within the agency, I felt quite aligned to project management. So I was helping out a lot of the senior project managers with odd jobs. And after chatting to a couple of them and I, made some really good friends in the business, including my now partner, the dad to our kids.
We met
that role. After chatting to a few of them about that as a career or like as a something I'd wanted, it wasn't even a career, right? It was just something that I was more interested in than getting coffee for the CEOs every morning, which I still like enjoy doing. And I was able to foster a good relationship with those guys because of that. So off the back of that, my friends were super encouraging to just throw my hat in the ring basically. So there was no role going or anything, but I just approached the GM and the founders and asked if there was an opportunity to go into a junior PM role, then I'd be really interested. And they were like, of course. So they created a pathway for me to take that opportunity, which like I'm so grateful for now. And yeah, I basically, that's how I got into the industry. So I guess like project management as a role has seen an evolution over the last 10 years. I've been called a producer and a scrum master and even an account manager in some sense, but it's essentially the role itself is leading cross-functional teams to deliver digital products and services. So yeah, websites, mobile apps.
She's probably smiling. Sorry, she's just very much distracted in this conversation. I was hoping she'd be on the boob. I'm so sorry that you're having to
look
at me with this baby on my lap.
Love it. I'm like, you sound very interested. So that's the role in a nutshell. And yeah, I grew my skill set from there. So I spent maybe a year, two max, learning the ropes with some really awesome people in that business. And then I moved on to a couple of other smaller agencies just to sort of get some experience with different types of work or exposure to a variety of different types of, you know, sizes of clients that we were dealing with and stuff like that. But it's funny because I think, well, funny, on reflection, I was still sort of looking at it as a job, as work. I wouldn't have sort of framed it as my career or, you know, that I was on a particular path to build a career. And it's, yeah, it's interesting just the distinction that actually had on my mindset. It wasn't something that I still wasn't planning for those next steps or, you know, what came after getting that experience and growing that skill set.
I wonder if that's almost quite a healthy mindset, because then perhaps you do a good job but don't take it too seriously.
I feel like maybe that is me to a T as well. Yeah. Sometimes it's just like, yeah, I'm a bit relaxed, or that's my approach to a lot of my work. Yeah.
I think that's a great mindset. I wish I had that mindset. So then you think of your career as more of a job through your 20s, and at some stage motherhood enters the picture. Tell us about where you're at there and how you feel about motherhood.
Yeah. So I did, like, even if I wasn't deliberately not prioritizing career for motherhood, I always wanted to be a mom. I come from a big family and I always wanted to have a big family myself. Adrian, my partner, is 4 years older than me. So we probably started talking about having kids a little bit earlier than what a lot of my immediate circle when that stage of our lives. So I think because of that, like, I was 27 when we started talking about having kids, and I was like, yeah, Brittany, like, let's go for it. I wasn't really too concerned about career. And like, again, like, I think that's a benefit of perhaps being that age as well. I don't feel like I had that real push and pull of what's this going to do for my career or my motherhood journey that I think a lot of people do, you know, go through that challenge. So yeah, I think having that approach to the job and being that age meant that I was a lot more, like, I guess, keen to just, yeah, start trying to have a family at that point. And I probably naively just thought, you have a baby and you go back to work and, you know, you have a little bit of a break and off you go. So yeah, I wasn't planning.
The naivety piece is one of my favorites, because so many of us bring it up in these chats that we think it's going to be a break going on maternity leave. But then we learn that it's anything. But before that, I want to take you back before I take you forward to find out what that was like. What was pregnancy like for you alongside work? Did you feel quite good? Or were you feeling sick, or how did it go?
Yeah, apart from the first probably month or two of, you know, morning sickness and having to eat like crackers at your desk to like curb nausea because you didn't want your boss to know, I was one of those really annoying people that just like loved being pregnant that time. Yeah. So I was like loving myself sick, basically. I was feeling fabulous and just, I was, you know, fortunate that I had an easy pregnancy and there were no, you know, issues. So working alongside being pregnant, it was, I think, you know, not having any other responsibilities as well, you've got the benefit of just sort of being able to prioritize yourself and looking after yourself alongside that career. So yeah, it was pretty crazy.
I picture me pregnant for the first time at work and I just think, she had quite a lovely life. I love my life now, don't get me wrong, but I'm like, that was quite lovely. Even when she was working hard, like, it was pretty lovely. Everything was pretty cruisy. So I'm with you there. I was the exact same first time around. Wasn't quite second time, but first time was great. So we'll get to that too. But then you eventually meet your baby. What is early motherhood like for you?
I loved it. I really enjoyed that stage of our life. Olive was a great, such a weird thing to say. Olive was a great baby. She I think we had all the, you know, challenges around sleep and feeding. She was pretty good with. So we had a good, smooth entry into parenthood. And I felt good in myself and I had really good support through that time. Like, you know, the first, I reckon my mum came for maybe it was like 2 or 3 weeks. She came from New Zealand she was here for the birth and then she hung out for a bit just to wait on me hand and foot, which was beautiful. But Adrian also, he was able to take a month off to make sure that we were transitioning well. And his family is super supportive as well. So I felt like, I had a smooth entry into motherhood.
And you planned to take 12 months off, but I think you end up going back a bit earlier. And I can't remember now if it was the first or second time around, but was this when the new job came up?
No. So, yes, it was. So I had every intention of taking 12 months off. I was really enjoying motherhood and being a full-time mom. But at around 9 months, this really amazing woman that I used to work with at my first agency job, she posted up on LinkedIn about a contract role that she was looking to fill for her agency. And it was a business that I had always had an eye on. Just, I don't really know how I came across them, probably just via her. But just the culture, or from the outside anyway, the culture of the agency, the type of work that they were doing, I was quite drawn to, and even more her. So Steph, the woman who was hiring, who went on to become my manager, I was always just really drawn to her as an operator. Like, I just thought she was an awesome operator, and she was a real champion for women in the industry. So I was like, oh, if I have the opportunity to work with her, that would be so great. So yeah, she posted about this contract role that she was looking to fill. And I spoke to Age about it, and we were kind of like, I think that was the first point. That was the first point that I really started to consider my job as a career and start to plan for what comes next. I don't know if it was, like actually having a family or having kids that sort of kicked that into gear. But yeah, I started to actually consider what my career would look like after, when I would go back to work. And we just knew that where I was at wasn't going to give me much more opportunity. Like, I'd hit a ceiling. I was leading the function there. It was small, it was a really small team, but it was kind of a bit of an immature business. Like, there wasn't a real good strategic direction, or I wasn't learning a lot from it. So we spoke about it and, talked about the trade-offs of going back to work early, and kind of was like, this is actually a really good opportunity to just jump at. And if I was going to move roles in that sort of pivotal time in our lives, then why not move to something that I was genuinely excited about? Like, it just seemed like it was perfect for me. And I guess the other upside to it was that because it was a contract role, we sort of thought, oh, maybe you don't have to tell your full-time employer. See, try and work the contract. And if it doesn't work, see the contract out, or, cut the contract short, and you can always go back to your full-time role. Yeah. I was way too scared to do that in the end. Like, I was like, no, I'm too scared they'll find out that I'm working two jobs, go bad.
They're going to send me to jail. Centrelink are going to take all my money off me and send me to jail. We always say that when, you get a Centrelink email, it's like, this is only bad news. It's just like, they've paid you. But I would have gone through all of those things too.
Yeah. So yeah, we spoke about it and we're like, why not just go for it? Like, Age is always really super supportive of prioritizing career, even though I was always quite apprehensive about it. But yeah, so that was at 9 months. And because it was a contract role, they usually hire for those roles because they needed someone yesterday. So a sort of 2 week frantic rush to get a childcare plan sorted for Olive, and I guess prepare myself mentally for what returning to work would be like. But I think I was just so excited about it that I wasn't apprehensive. I was nervous about all the normal things that you'd probably feel nervous about and starting a new job. So yeah, meeting a team and getting to know the business, I was nervous about. But the overlay of what returning to paid work from motherhood was going to look like wasn't a huge factor that I was considering. The business was, they were super supportive. Even the first initial chats that we had, they were like, so we want to make sure that you're not rushing yourself back into the role, take as much time as you need. We can work out the coverage for filling the gap, because I was filling a role for someone who was going overseas for 3 months. So they were super supportive, and they were like, what sort of flexibility do you need? And I don't know, or I might be good to come in at 4 days. And they're like, of course, 4 days done. And yeah, I was kind of blasé about it, which was, I think I sort of actually felt like I had something to prove, and just being a project manager and trying to coordinate something under pressure in a short period of time. I was like, yeah, watch me do this. I'll, show you how good I am, type thing.
And when you asked for 4 days, do you think on reflection it was 5 days work into a 4 day work week?
Yeah, I think it was. So, I didn't feel pressured to be checking in or anything. I don't think I had the real, I didn't feel that responsible, I guess, for the work that I was delivering. So that day off, paid work, I really was just spending the day with Olive and doing mum things. But yeah, it did sort of grow into, you know, the day that you weren't there, that you'd end up trying to catch up on what you'd missed on top of delivering the work that you would have had to otherwise. So yeah, it was. And I think, yeah, I didn't expect that either.
Yeah. And so what did that mad scramble for care for Olive look like? Where did you land in just 2 short weeks of obviously some very good project managing?
Yeah. So Olive's nana was going to take her for one day. I was obviously going to have one day with her. And Adrian was going to start utilizing his parental leave policy and take her for one day a week. And then she was only going to need to be in daycare for two. And I just happened to be able to get her into a daycare that was just down the road from the office. So I don't know how, like, I know. And it was in Collingwood too. So I was like, this is like high stakes type stuff. So they got her into daycare there. Pretty fortunate that Adrian's parental leave policy, it was pretty great. It was 4 months full pay, but you could use it however you wanted to, as long as it was within the first 2 years. So you could take it like a month off at the start. You could take 3 months off at mid-year, or yeah. What we ended up doing was, yeah, going down a day per week for a set period of time. So that was awesome. Yeah, so that's what childcare looked like. And it was, I think, was she was always a, is it weird to call a baby outgoing? Like, she was an outgoing baby. She was pretty adventurous. So the transition for her was great. Like, she, on the day that she was with her nana, my mother-in-law also had my sister-in-law's daughter, who was a couple months older than Olive. So they sort of had this little tag team day where the cousins would get to hang out for the day. And yeah, the, like, we look back on the photos and videos now and we're like, oh, they're so cute. Look at them hanging
out.
That's
so special.
So special.
And so what were the best and worst parts of returning to work? Or not worst, but the most challenging parts? And what did you enjoy?
What I enjoyed was I was working on a really fun client. So I was really invested in the work itself. Like, yeah, it felt like it was a really great opportunity to grow my skill set and work on something that was really fun. And in hindsight, I can reflect on it now. And what I found really challenging was it was a mental and sort of emotional struggle that I wasn't expecting. I think because a lot of the other mums that I knew with that same stage of life, they were all returning to work at 12 months. So no one had quite gone through the jump of returning to work. And I was doing it a little bit earlier. And there was conversation about what the transition would look like. And, you know, there was lots of practical advice around, I don't know, new routines and getting into daycare and, you know, expressing at work. And it was all like super helpful advice. But I think it was what I found challenging on my return was a lot more of the sort of mental and emotional pressure that I put myself under.
Yeah, it's almost the stuff you can't read in blog posts or in text messages, right? It's the things exactly. You feel that you can't plan for.
And even what I was finding, there was conversation about, you know, you might take a little bit of time to get up to speed. But in my head, that was like a couple of weeks. And when it sort of hit the 6 month mark and I still felt like I was a fish out of water, and I started to like beat myself up about it and feel quite anxious about what I was contributing. And I was just sort of waiting for someone to be like, oh, she's like, why is she in the role that she's in?
Oh, like they're going to find me out.
Exactly. Like just severe imposter sort of syndrome. And that was that was the most challenging part that I found about that return, because I, even more so, I couldn't quite articulate it. Like I think I put the pressure on myself to be as great as what I, you know, was before, and within this, just basically return to work without ever knowing that you've just gone through huge life changes.
Yeah. Like pretend that I didn't just hold a pregnancy, birth a human, feed a human, get up a few times a night the entire past 9 months. It's amazing, isn't it? And we pretend that we're not taking that to work with us.
Yeah. And I don't think there were lots of dads in the business, but I think there maybe were like one or two mums, but they were all like well past that early motherhood stage. So I didn't feel like I could like exactly confide in anyone. But even then, like I wasn't even really talking to age about it. Like I just felt like I was kind of carrying that burden on my own, because I had the expectation that I should be able to handle that part of motherhood and return to work. So yeah, that was definitely the most challenging part. Everything else, I think, like because we'd done the preparation around new routines and like that transition, like the practical sort of
like the logistics organizational
logistics was all pretty smooth sailing, challenging, but we'd done the preparation in that area, whereas the other side of it.
Just a quick break to tell you about our Ready or Not go-to guides. Now, I may be biased, but I think when you refer back to something that you personally worked on, that's a pretty good sign that it is elite. I have been using the Breastfeeding and Returning to Work go-to guide as I return to the office. It was created with expert and lactation consultant Jolene Windus-Pay, and it is full to the brim with everything you need to know for breastfeeding and returning to work. Not only that, we've also made a postpartum and return to work planning guide and a childcare 101 guide. You can shop the guides individually for $29 each or the trio for $69 now at readyornot.au. I'm really glad you brought that up because people sometimes don't dig that deep. They'll say it in a roundabout way that lends itself to exactly what you just said, but not specifically those words. But that is sort of why I started this. I was aware that mums had been returning to work for eons, like everyone's doing it or a lot of people are doing it and in different ways, but how do they actually feel about it? So I'm really glad you shared that. Talking about, I guess, settling into work, it must have become really interesting when it's 6 months into it. I think you were pregnant with your next and in your words, were terrified. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So the timeline was I started the contract in June. They offered me a permanent role in August, and then by basically November, December, I was pregnant and I was petrified. I was honestly, because like with Olive, we'd tried to conceive for sort of 3 to 4 months. So when we started talking about having a second, I was like, all right, we'll give ourselves a bit of lead time, you know, by the time we fall pregnant and then the incubation period.
Yeah. It's so funny the way we expect it to be the exact same the second time around. It took us 8 months with Ray, and Posey was sort of a surprise. And with hindsight, I'm like, I was so naive to think that that couldn't have happened.
Yeah, you're right, naive. I just wasn't even thinking about it at all. I was right just there like, with that's you. How it's going to play.
Yeah.
So, so we fell pregnant like the first sort of round, and I was like, oh, crap. Like, what am I going to do? And I was, and it's stupid now, right? Like, you can reflect on it and you can be like, I don't know why I was so scared because, like, it's just no one actually cares. But from my perspective, I felt like, they'd just gone through this whole process to hire me, that just onboarded me and integrated me into a team. And then I was going to ask for 12 months off when I'd barely hit 6 months within the business. And I wouldn't have even hit 12 months in the business by the time I'd go on maternity leave. So I just felt bad. I felt like it was very rude of me, especially when I felt like I had sort of been, I got the opportunity through Steph. Like I felt like I was letting Steph down in some regard, my manager who, you know, was a real advocate for me. So, I was terrified. And even the way that I went about telling her and telling the business, I put it off and I put it off and I put it off for as like long as I could. I sent messages like, hey, got 10 minutes to chat some point today. Doesn't need to be today. Could be tomorrow. No probs. Just let me know. Just so
nervous. Could be in 6 months if you'd prefer.
No worries. And I think like we rescheduled a chat a couple of times because, you know, things just got in the way. And I don't think she sort of realized what I was trying to get at. And I reckon, I think I even scheduled time with her. We went to go have a meeting and I chickened out at the last second and like talked about something completely irrelevant. I don't know why I was so scared because
me to a T had I returned to a specific role as opposed to freelancing. Yeah. That would have been the exact same.
So I think she got to know me quite well, I think. And she was like, something's up here. So one day she just like swung by my desk and was like, let's go for a walk around the block. We went around the block and, you know, just sort of chatted away. And she was like, now what's going on? Something's up. And I was like, okay. Like she's created the space for me. And I was like, I'm pregnant. And she like squealed with excitement. She was like, that's so awesome. I'm so happy for you. And I just felt like a complete tool for putting it off for so long. She was, stoked for me. And like the CEO slacked me that afternoon and was like, just heard your news. So pleased for you. So having that response just made me feel so much better. And I can't speak more highly of a business that has a genuine culture. Like I think a lot of businesses can talk the talk, but having somewhere where you do feel that support was, I think it was the best place for me to be going through that transition and stage of my life.
And did that immediately quash any guilt you felt, or did that take some time?
No, I was like, oh, thank God. Yeah, they're fine. It's all good. And they, I think it was, I still had, in agency land, I still had quite a tight period before I would be going on leave. And they were talking about wanting to hire another role anyway. So they were sort of thinking that they'd hire someone in to cover me who would end up going permanent anyway, which is, very much what I did when I was hired as well.
Yeah.
So, I didn't feel guilty for much longer than that.
Oh, hindsight, hey, if only we could tell ourselves these things in real time.
Totally.
So you didn't feel quite as good, I don't think, the second time around with pregnancy. Tell us about that.
No, I didn't feel as great. Yeah. It wasn't like horrible, but I just felt like I was a lot, I think, chasing after a toddler as well. I was just a bit more sluggish and it wasn't a horrible pregnancy, but it wasn't as great as the first time. I think alongside work, I think it definitely was a contributor. I did get to a point, it's kind of fuzzy and weird because COVID hit around then. So yes. I did get to a point, I was planning to go on leave at like 36 weeks, what I think most people do. And then at around, maybe a month, the back half of the pregnancy anyway, I was like, I don't feel like I'm looking after myself. Like I just feel a little bit off and like I wasn't doing myself any favors with, I think, just the workload of life and work. So I spoke to my manager and I was like, is it going to be a massive deal if I take time off earlier? Like if I go on leave at 32 or 33 weeks? And she was just like, no, of course, go on leave. Like it's hectic. So that was awesome. They were super supportive of that. And I think that was probably one thing that I think knowing when to ask for help was something that I started to develop a skill for that I didn't have immediately. It was something that I had to learn. So I think just by doing that first sort of opportunity to put my hand up and say I need to prioritize myself was a real good sort of a turning point for how I would approach my career moving forward as well.
And what was the parental leave policy? Did they give you a certain amount of months that made you able to sort of do that, I guess?
Yeah. So they were like, again, I can't speak more highly of them. So they didn't have a policy in place when I joined the business and when I told them I was pregnant. They didn't have a policy in place, but they had mentioned that it was something that they were working towards. So when I told them I was pregnant, they basically fast-tracked the policy. So they were like, oh, we want to get your input while you're here. Like, it's a really good opportunity for you to feed into what would be ideal for a working parent or someone who's about to go on maternity leave. And so I kind of helped them. Like, the people in culture leave was amazing. She was so awesome. And I kind of helped them, shape what it could look like and gave my feedback. And surprisingly, I can't remember when it was, but basically at some point before I went on leave, people in culture and Steph like called me into an office and they were like, all right, we're just like the finalizing the policy. So we just wanted to get your eyes over it. And we wanted to know if you wanted to trial it for us. And I was like, honestly, broke down in tears because I was
picturing I would have been crying if that happened to me.
I like so overwhelmed, I think, because I wasn't expecting anything. A, because there was no policy in place, and B, because most policies have a 12-month clause where you have to serve 12 months in the business, and I wasn't going to hit that. I was, barely in the business for like 6 months or whatever before I even told them I was pregnant. So, them extending the policy to me, I was just, gobsmacked and so grateful. And I think it's a testament for like the value that a business can place on, people returning to work and like, making sure that they feel like they've got a place to come back to. So the policy itself was 10 weeks full pay and a $3,000 super top up and a $7,000 bonus for when you actually did return to work, a cash bonus. It was so awesome. Like I never heard of the super top up component before, but I was like, oh, that's something that I hadn't considered. That's going to be super beneficial, even if it's, a small component. So it was a great policy and I was so stoked to have it extended to me when I wasn't expecting it.
Oh, incredible, but also very deserving. So second time around, I think you plan again to take about 12 months, but you return at about 9 months again. Talk us through the headspace that leads you there and then talk us through how it was returning as a mother of two.
So, yeah, around 9 months, I was ready to return to work again. But it was, I think it was more driven from like a place of genuine desire to get back into the business. Like I was really enjoying the work. You know, by the time I left the business, the actual work, I felt more comfortable in just my role within the team. So I, yeah, genuinely wanted to get back into the business. So we also, well, I think at that point as well, Age had to take his leave within 12 months or something. So we were like, oh, we might as well, you know, go back to work a little bit earlier than 12 months. And I think it may have also been like the COVID component. I was just sort of like itching to sort of get out of the four walls of your house and want to, yeah, get back into work. So I, like the actual return, I remember going to have coffee with my manager and the people in Culturally. And I'd just done some like genuine reflection on what I had felt that first time around. And it was the first chance that I had to really like identify and like dig deep and identify how I felt about that first return. And I think there was probably more conversation happening around that experience for returning parents. So I felt more comfortable in just being able to have an open conversation with them. So like they even said after when I was integrated back into the business that just the excitement and I think the way I was talking about those experiences and what I'd learned from them and how I wanted to approach the second return, they were like, it was tangible, you know, the things that you were talking about and you were super excited to share those experiences. So yeah, I think being able to identify and articulate what those challenges were the first time around, I really did take those lessons into the second return to work and made sure that I was super vocal about not wanting to put myself under too much pressure and wanting to be not in control, but have more input into the workload itself. So sort of like be more particular about the clients and the projects that I was working on. So in some sense, I felt a lot more prepared going into that second return. Like I wasn't putting really high expectations on myself. And I was just making sure that I was being super communicative. I think I'd also had the opportunity to build a real good rapport and a good relationship with my manager, which like it's a two-way street, I think. Like you, it's really hard to do that if you don't have a supportive manager. So yeah, having that outlook and that approach to it was, yeah, miles away from how I went back the first time.
And so was that 4 or 5 days at this stage?
Well, I went back 4. But it didn't last long. I kind of realized like a couple of months in, I think I wanted to go 4 days back more so because I wanted to make sure that I was easing myself into it. And rather than, I think the first time with Olive, I took 4 days because I wanted to ease her into the transition. Whereas the second time, the priority was on my own transition back to work. So yeah, I took 4 days and very quickly, once I started to feel more comfortable in the role, I realized the work again is pretty much 5 days and 4. So I might as well just go up to 5.
Get paid what you're doing. Get paid for your output.
Exactly.
And so then eventually a third comes into the picture. Tell us now, I found pregnancy second time around, as I've mentioned, much harder. You're chasing a toddler. I already as well felt more sick, so on and so forth. What does it feel like third time around? Pregnant, working, 2 kids.
So much of like this stage is, yeah, again, quite hazy because I think it was just like the hustle of doing the routine. I wasn't super conscious, I think, of what sort of pressure I was putting myself under. I was working on a really big project, but it was, yeah, it was really challenging. And I think the opportunity itself made me quite driven and quite motivated to do a good job on it, So I wouldn't say like I didn't let the pregnancy sort of impact that, but it was kind of just like, yeah, I think I just went through the pregnancy, just going through the motions and I was more focused on my career at that point. So yeah, there wasn't, again, I've had pretty like relatively smooth pregnancies, like even though you get to a point where you're just like, I'm over this, I'm done, I just want this baby here.
I guess as well, you can't focus on it as much, right? Like there's no time.
Yeah. Yeah. You've got so much time to look after yourself and to be, you know, pamper yourself that first time round, whereas second and third, it's just sort of like, all right, on your way.
All of a sudden they're here. Like the first time it's like, cannot wait 8 more months to have a baby. And then they're, oh, hello, Posey, you got something to say? And then the other time, the second time around in my experience is like, oh, wow, you're already here.
Yeah, exactly.
So then the return to paid work comes most recently with your third. I think there's another plot twist in here. Tell us about that.
Another plot twist. So I was really excited to get back into work again, sort of 9 months. We had that same situation where Age had to take his parental leave within the first 12 months. And we wanted to take it as, you know, 3 full months of being primary caregiver for Alfie, because we were like, this is pretty sure this is our last. So having that opportunity. And so I went back to work again at 9 months, and I was really loving the team and loving the client that I was working on. But I just got to a point, and like, I think from the previous experiences, I became more in tune with recognizing how I was feeling and being like more comfortable with just having the conversation to say, I'm feeling kind of burnt out here. Like, I've only been back in the business for 2 months, and I feel like the pace has just been, yeah, a bit hectic for me. So I was very transparent in having that conversation, and work was supportive and tried to make changes to ensure that I was taking care of myself and making changes within the like relationship with the client. But it did get to a point where this opportunity came up, and I had been eyeing off the client side role for like 12 months because the pace is just a lot slower on client side. So agency, you're working for a client who generally, you know, wants things quickly and wants things yesterday. And it's, yeah, the pace is quite intense. Whereas client side, they generally, not the case everywhere, but you've got more time to sort of just, yeah, take it slow. So I think the stage of life that we were in, I was just a lot more vocal about wanting to prioritize our family and what impact that career mindset had on our family. So yeah, I was doing 5 days work, but after hours, like, you know, like I was doing a lot of work outside of the 9 to 5, just because I felt like that was what the pace required of me. And if I was, you know, having to take the kids to an appointment or whatever it was, I felt like I had to catch up, or I had to be really, really diligent about staying on top of the comms rather than just sort of being able to sit back and not be as hands-on and, yeah, really like feel so responsible for the output.
And I imagine that's a manic feeling, like you're taking a child to an appointment and you're checking your phone every 5 seconds to see what emails have come in and all of that stuff. Like, it's exactly those in-between moments that can be so stressful, right?
Yeah. And it's not like there was ever any pressure from the business to be like performing at that level, but it was just like, I think I've got just like an overachiever's mindset where I'm just like, no, got to do it the best, got to be there, got to make sure anyone I respond down to this. Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, the opportunity came up. So I returned to work at 9 months, and 5 months in, an opportunity came up at a client side role. And I just jumped at it. I was like, this feels like it's the right time to be doing this. So yeah, throw in a change of scenery, and that's return to work has been, yeah, like I said, I think it's been probably the smoothest transition from a career perspective, because I felt, yeah, most in control or empowered to be making decisions that I feel confident in. From a family perspective, yeah, it's wild, but it's an interesting gear shift.
And when your partner took those 3 consecutive months, what did he learn, or how did it help the way you go about parenting together?
Age always had, he always appreciated the value of what primary caregiver or default parent was. Like, he never was the type of person to, you know, not place the value on it. But I think being in that role, he was like, it's hard. Ooh, like, yeah. I think the relentlessness of it, like day in, day out, he was just like, from the outset, he was like, I know it's going to be hard, but I didn't think it was going to be this hard.
How validating though.
So good. And it's like, should I say it's funny, but we got to a point where like, I kind of had to swallow my own pride, where he'd sort of be like struggling with something. And I had this, you'll work it out, you can do it, you've got this sort of, you know, mindset, because I wanted to empower him to sort of be able to be a great primary caregiver. But then there was also the point where he was like, I need help with this. And I kind of had to put myself in his shoes and be like, actually, you know, the points when I was sort of saying I need help, he would, you know, step in and do that. So that was an interesting thing that I didn't quite
Interesting paradigm shift too, because what is classically the mum's role and the dad's role, what we've grown up thinking, you think that when it's reversed, it's a bit like, oh, come on, mate, like this is what I've been doing all the time. But it's like, if we want everyone to be equal in this parenting game, we need to support each other. That's so interesting.
Yeah. So there was, I like very clearly remember being like, okay, I'm probably just being a dick now. Like I can probably be a little bit more helpful and not be so, but yeah.
What a great learning. If only every partnership got the opportunity to do that with some pay from work, right?
Totally.
So I know your parents live in New Zealand. I believe age as family are really prominent and present in your life. We know obviously that they've helped look after your kids all these years. But your own family being overseas, I'm sure, has had its challenges. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, I come from a big family and we've got all of my siblings bar one have kids. So it's been, I think, hard being here when they're so, and they live such a close-knit sort of integrated life together. So my sister will often take all kids out, or, you know, everyone sort of tag teams, and my mum and dad are really hands-on and looking after the grandkids. So it's been, sometimes a little bit sad, not like our kids not being involved in that part of their family life. But at the same time, like they've got such a strong connection, like FaceTime, sometimes it feels like they've got a stronger connection with them over FaceTime than people that, you know, family who do live here.
Oh, that's so nice.
It is. It's beautiful.
The good side of technology.
Yeah. Apart from when they just like decide to call nanny and like running around the house with a phone that's going everywhere. And nanny's like, yeah, I'm getting car sick here, babe. But yeah, I think that has been challenging. And just having, I think we've had to only having one family around for that layer of support has meant that we've probably not been able to be as, not like prioritize ourselves as much as I think other families maybe have the opportunity to, because we don't want to put too much pressure on the ages parents. So yeah, I think that's something that we're like always trying to prioritize of, you know, how much we're able to just give ourselves back some time. Yeah.
And lastly, before I let you go, you presented to your team a talk about the return to work once upon a time. Tell us about how that idea came to be, how you went about what you were going to present, and then lastly, what the feedback was like.
Best thing I ever did in my career, I reckon. So it actually only stemmed from when I met for that coffee with my manager and the people in Culture Lead. We were talking about sort of what goals I might have for the next 12 months, or, you know, what I wanted to develop. And I had said, oh, I would really like to get better at presenting. Like, I don't feel like I'm very good at presenting. I hate it. And so Flick, the people in Culture Lead, was like, okay, well, like, let's try and, while you're getting integrated back into the business, why don't you think about something that you can present back to the business about? And I was like, oh, I don't really know. Like, there's not really much. And she's like, it doesn't have to be work related, just like a story, like something funny that happened while you were on leave or something random, because the art of being able to present is in storytelling and like knowing your thread of your story. And I still was quite apprehensive about it. And she, you know, a couple of weeks back in, she was like, have you thought about what you want to present back to? And I was like, I don't know, like still not really keen. And she was like, you seem really passionate about mums returning to work. Why don't you put together a couple slides just around what your experience was like, because you were so excited to share that with us when we caught up for coffee. And so I was like, yeah, you know what? I will, because I think that is such an important conversation that isn't being had enough. So I put together a couple slides of just like the top three things of what I learned, or the top three things that I learned returning to work after I had Olive. And it was honestly it was COVID. So it was all remote. And it was, I think the talk itself was like less than 5 minutes, but I, you know, put some funny pictures in of me and the kids and talked through those learnings. And the response was not what I expected. Like, everyone was so supportive and so thankful for what I was sharing. Like, there was like in the actual session, people were like, that is so fascinating. Thank you for sharing that with us, because I don't think that's something that, like, to feel vulnerable enough to be able to share that is something that, yeah, not many people can do. And opening up that conversation is, you know, I'm sure quite difficult, which it was, but I think it actually made me more confident in the role afterwards, because it wasn't like it was something that I had to hide, that I like had the brain the size of a pea some days. And I was able to say, like, guys, I'm struggling today because I'm running on, you know, minimal sleep. And it wasn't something that was...
But it's also like, look what I do every day outside of here. Like, wow, look what I'm doing when I'm not here. It's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was the response. Everyone was like, yeah, that's incredible. Thank you for sharing. And I think at the end of the year, that was like mid-year or something. And at the end of the year, we had a team sort of get together, and we wished our, one of our managers was like, everyone share like the, like a great thing that happened this year. And another guy on the team was like, a great thing that happened this year was Powell's presentation about her return to work. It was such an eye-opener for me, and it just has changed the way I sort of, you know, approach dealing with her in the workplace. Or like, you know, like, it was so validating to feel like it was something that someone, you know, thought of as a highlight for the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's actually like, I didn't even think about this. I was thinking more originally that it just sort of peels back a layer of what a mum or a primary caregiver goes through. But in a way, it sounds like you also brought value to the primary caregiving role in a space where money is made, and where that we're not normally talking about the values of mothers in the workplace. And it's like you broke down a wall there.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Right. Yeah. It was awesome. And yeah, it was the best, like one of the best things I've done in my career. Like I still think, and it really did make me feel more comfortable with presenting. And yeah, it was, I highly recommend it if you feel safe enough to be able to share those sorts of insights.
That's incredible. I do have one more question for you. Posey's crying. I'm rocking her side to side.
Darling.
But I do have one last question, and that's if someone's preparing for their first ever return to work, what's your number one tip to make it a little bit easier?
Oh, good question. I do really think there's so much value in trying to create a relationship with your manager that allows you to have a really clear and honest line of communication. Yeah, I think that's probably been the one thing that has made my return to work all three times. Like, I think the positives that have come from those return to work experiences have all come from having a really clear and honest line of communication. And it's hard, I think, like, you know, opening up those vulnerabilities in the workplace, but I think it does pay dividends.
Thank you so much for sharing your story. There is so much wisdom in this episode. I love that return to work presentation story. Thank you for being here, Pel.
Thank you for having me. It was great chatting.
Thanks for listening to Ready or Not. If you liked the show, please tell your friends, subscribe, or write a review. You can also find us on Instagram at readyornot.pod. That's it for today. We'll see you next time.